Director of the Southern African Alcohol Policy Alliance, Maurice Smithers, joins me on the line now. Maurice, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Morning, Africa. Thanks very much.
Some would argue the president and his cabinet were left with little choice given the transmissibility of this new variant of COVID-19 and how a lot of the transmissions are happening in social gatherings that are often driven by alcohol.
Well, definitely, they were left with little choice but to take some kind of action. We hadn't expected a ban, just as we didn't expect a ban in March. In fact, we had advised against a ban simply because there are unintended consequences arising from a ban. And in many ways, it may create a level of unhappiness and hostility even, I guess, from the drinking population. Let me not say the population as a whole, because as we know, the majority of people don't drink anyway. From the drinking population, but nevertheless, we realize that government has taken the issue very, very seriously, which is why they've taken the decision to call for a complete ban. And in many ways, it's also much easier to manage if you have a complete ban than if you have a half ban. And that's why we think the use of alcohol has actually spiraled out of control, because the restrictions weren't enough to control what people were doing, and it's quite difficult to have enough resources, enough human resources, to ensure that people are sticking to easier rules, if you want to put it that way. But we had expected maybe a complete ban on consumption alcohol, but still available to buy at bottle stores and so on. But we're very happy that government has taken the issue very seriously, because we were 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, we were calling for drastic action because we kind of could see this coming. So we're very happy that strong action has been taken.
What is this unintended consequences that worried you and resulted in you advising against a total ban on the sale of alcohol?
Well, it's mainly the usual little things, and I don't want to overemphasize them, because people did actually use them as an excuse to call for the ban to be lifted the first time. But there is the problem that may arise of people trying to get access to alcohol through illicit means. There may be a few people who start trying to brew their own stuff, and then there's a possibility of people breaking into bottle stores in order to get access to alcohol. And all of those things happened to one degree or another in the first major lockdown. But let me stress again, they weren't happening to the extent that they could cause a major problem. But I think the main thing is that people, it may just lead to a bit more resentment, perhaps, from the population that is already wary from a difficult year. But again, I don't want to use those as an excuse to say it shouldn't have happened, because we do believe that a strong signal had to be sent one way or another, because it's quite clear that people were not taking the issue seriously, and particularly around the use of alcohol, which was causing super spreading from things like the matric raids to nightclubs in Sandton operating without licenses and staying open all hours of the night, to what we've been seeing happening in the Eastern Cape. So something had to be done, and government clearly they've had enough, clearly, and decided this is the message that has to be sent. So we'll see what happens over the next few weeks to see if it does make the difference that we hope it will.
The additional concern, of course, for government is the pressure on hospitals that the excessive consumption of alcohol places, right? It's driving up the numbers of trauma cases in our hospitals,
yeah,
said the president yesterday, saying that according to the data that we have, with every relaxation of the restrictions on the sale of alcohol,
yeah,
the number of trauma cases reported at our hospitals has increased. I mean, that is many people are asking, well, you know, in the initial shutdown, the idea was to obviously improve the capacity of the health system, if you like. And we need to remind listeners that that improvement of the health facility was really in setting up field hospitals. The new approach by the health department is to try and increase capacity within physical structures of hospitals now so that those beds remain beyond the pandemic. And that is happening at a much slower pace than building a new hospital from scratch. And so therefore, government has to, as far as possible, mitigate against the strain, I suppose, that the hospitals are undergoing at the moment.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, I think the important thing to remember is that the strain on the hospital is through, first of all, the availability of beds. Secondly, it's the availability of personnel who can, you know, pay attention to the needs of the COVID patients and not be distracted by having to deal with drunken people who've come in, who've been stabbed or in other way, or been in a car crash or something because of drunkenness. And thirdly, it's the cost to the country, because, you know, what people don't think about enough is the fact that when somebody goes into hospital to go and be treated, whether they as an outpatient or as an inpatient, it actually costs the government money to take care of them. I mean, I think a figure that was thrown around at some point in the year was that in the Western Cape, for example, if somebody gets a superficial stab wound as a result of a fight, where they just need to be stitched up and patched up and sent home, it costs an average of around 5,000 rand. Now, that's public money. That's money that needs to be used for other purposes in the hospital and unnecessarily being spent on people who are getting drunk and engaging in fights or having, you know, some kind of altercation with other drunken people. And just after we heard about that, there was an incident of a guy who'd been stabbed under the armpit during a drunken brawl. He spent 4 hours in surgery, because they were trying to save his arm and try to save his life. Now, the costs of doing that, of keeping a surgery with all the staff and the equipment and the resources, the anesthetics and so on, that must have cost 20, 30, 40,000 rand. And that's a cost to the state. Now, you add all that up together, all of those things, and you realize that you've got to do something. But I think the important thing that we need to learn from this is, do we want to go back after COVID and say, once COVID is gone, it's cool to actually have all these drunken people coming in to be treated in our public hospitals? Or do we want to actually find a way to change people's behavior permanently, so that we don't actually have a return to that kind of level of burden on the state public health system? I remember there was a doctor from Groote Hospital who talked about, after the first 2 months of the lockdown, he said that there was a return to the hospital trauma units of the unmistakable combination smell of blood and alcohol, a smell that they hadn't experienced for the 2 months of the ban of alcohol. And that's something that these trauma people have to experience every single weekend, from Friday to Sunday. Do we want to go back to that? And so, many ways, what we need to be asking ourselves is, what are we going to do about alcohol after COVID? How are we going to manage alcohol after COVID? We clearly can't have a complete ban permanently, because that will definitely create major problems for the country, as we saw happen in America, for example, from 1920 to 1933. But we do need better regulations. And that's why we are really pushing government to pass the Liquor Amendment Bill, which was drafted in 2016 and still has not been passed, because that will actually begin to change people's behavior permanently for the good.
And we'll certainly in a future date unpack what's contained in that amendment bill you speak of there, Maurice. I imagine a combination of a total ban on the sale of alcohol with a curfew that now starts at 9 o'clock in the evening until 6 o'clock in the morning, as well as a ban on all indoor and outdoor events. Combination of that will go some way then in reducing the pressure from the health system ultimately, because you'll be reducing the opportunities where people can consume and possibly consume excessive amounts of alcohol.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's that, you know, and that's what you saw with the first lockdown. There was a dramatic drop. I mean, even in the first week of our COVID response in South Africa, because you remember the first week before the major lockdown, there was restrictions, all alcohol outlets had closed 6 o'clock, on consumption and off consumption, had closed at 6 o'clock. And there was already a dramatic drop in trauma admissions to hospitals, and that continued, obviously, into the ban. Something like 60 to 70%, in some cases up to 90% reduction in trauma admissions to hospitals. So it made a dramatic difference, and it will continue to make a dramatic difference now. It's going to be difficult for people because they're going to have to stay at home. They're going to have to be in small groups. But it's a small price to pay, really, if you think about it, in terms of securing the future for the country and for the lives of people. I mean, you were talking earlier on about the number of your family members that have been affected by COVID. And everybody's going to have a story to tell about people in their family that either got COVID and survived or didn't survive. And that's something that I think this is intended to try and address, so that as many of us are around to enjoy the festive season in 2021 as possible.
Indeed. Maurice, thank you very much for your reflections. Maurice Smithers is the director of the Southern African Alcohol Policy Alliance, reflecting on the complete ban on the sale of alcohol announced by President Cyril Ramaphosa yesterday, saying that the sale of alcohol from retail outlets is banned, not permitted, as well as the sale for on-site consumption of alcohol, also not permitted. The prohibition on consumption of alcohol in public spaces like parks and beaches remains, and the distribution and transportation will be prohibited, with exceptions that will be explained by Minister Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma at 10 o'clock when she addresses the media. It's 22 minutes past 5.